Is God pleased with what you get up to every day? Does your situation in life enable you to glorify God? Are you in a place in life where you can be the best Christian God wants you to be? Now, if you're not sure how to answer those questions, let me tell you straight up. I believe that God has placed you wherever you are because that's where he wants you. We often measure our importance before God by what we have to offer him. Oh, God, I can offer you 5 hours. I'm going to serve you for 5 hours. And I'm pretty godly, I'm pretty holy, because I'm serving a whole lot more than that person who just comes to church on a Sunday. We like to place ourselves on the pecking ladder to think that we're more important than others. And so we'll say, okay, well, so God's up here, obviously. And then there's Jesus and the angels. And then, you know, somewhere pretty close up to that top is Matt Yeo. You know, he's the rector. He's pretty important. Maybe the wardens just under him. You know, they're pretty important people too. Maybe the parish council. Maybe then the assistant ministers, just kind of fair way down there. And then maybe just under the ministers, maybe then the worship leader. You know, because he's elevated up a couple of steps. If you're in the band, that's pretty good. If you play drums, though, sucked in. Sorry about that. If you make the coffee, well, you can be in the middle, you know, because that's still a pretty important job. You know, it keeps us all awake here at church. And, you know, if all the way down the bottom is those people who clean things. Do we think God is more pleased with the people at the top? So we aspire to have a significant role in church. If only I could be like that guy. If only I could be like them, then I would be able to serve God. I'd be able to serve God like I've always wanted. I'd be a better Christian. If only I could be a full-time Christian or maybe serve in some important way. You know, serving is really important here at St. Aidan's. So it must be really important to God too. We're coming to the end of our series on the book of 1 Corinthians. And over the last couple of weeks, we've seen Paul speak about things that divide people, things that were clearly important for them in their lives, marriage, sexual immorality, divorce. And today we're looking at two things that divide people, a religious culture and social status. And we're going to be challenged to think about our current life. We're going to be challenged to think as God would have us about our life. So please, open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians 7 if you don't already have them open. We're going to begin in verse 17. Nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Paul uses three words that are pretty important here for us. Assigned, called, and life. Assigned, called, and life. God has put you into your particular life at this very moment. Are you a mum who stays home and looks after kids? God has put you into that life right now. Are you a student at Sydney Tech? God has put you into that school for a particular reason. God has given you that task. Are you working in the city as an accountant or a lawyer? God has given you that task. Are you studying? Are you retired? Whatever it is that you are doing, God has given you that task. And not only has God assigned us to these tasks, he's actually called us to them too. Now, people often speak about calling as some kind of feeling. I feel called to be an actor. I feel called to make a difference in the world. I'm going to become a politician. Nobody says, I feel called to do the vacuuming. And yet that's what we have to do a lot of the time. God has called us to our lives as well as given us them. Whatever situation you are in right now is the calling from God for today. And he wants us to do life right there, to live it. We don't need to change things greatly before we can serve God in our lives. Now, our lives can and do change, but it's important to see that God has called you to live your life today, not looking off to the distant future. Maybe I can serve him another day. I've been doing a bit of gardening lately, mainly pulling out weeds, but also planting some nice things. One of the analogies that I read was quite helpful. God has planted you in your life. He's dug the hole, he's popped you in it. He's watered you, he's given you the food you need. God wants you to bloom as a beautiful plant in that life. Now, at some point, he might uproot you. He might move you somewhere else and call you to something different. But right now, he has called you and given you a task for your life today. Seek to see God glorified in what you do today, not holding out hope that maybe one day God will call you to some special ministry where you can have a massive impact. That place where you can have impact is in your life right now. I was at the dentist on Friday. Don't worry, it's all good. I didn't have to have root canal or anything. My mother-in-law works there. And at one point, she ushered me into a room. And you know, I got the sweaty palms as I'm going into the dentist. Well, I'm really nervous. What's going to happen? Is it going to be one drill or three drills? You know, how bad is it going to be? And I go in there. And she's just having a theological discussion with the dentist and the dental assistant. And she's called me in as some kind of theological backup. I think one of the ladies was of Hindu background, and she's saying, well, aren't we all basically good? And my mother-in-law was saying, no, we're not. We're all totally sinful. We do the wrong thing all the time. She kind of calls me in, and I'm looking around and going, I don't know what you want me to say. My 1-year-old Tamara follows me around and say, well, Tamara, even though she's one, she is still totally sinful. You say no, she knows what that word means, and she will run fast as she can to get whatever she wants. And then, you know, I stayed there for about another minute. My mother-in-law had it covered, so I left. Then she kind of came to me later on and harangued me. Why did you leave me there? And I said, you knew what you were doing. You were sharing the gospel to these people you know in a lovely way. I don't know these people. God has called you to this particular place and you have a relationship with these people. You don't need me. Do you know, mums and dads, that you are statistically the most significant Christian role model in your teenagers' lives, in your children's lives? Just think for a moment, who the most significant role model for you has been as a Christian? For me, it was my dad, and statistically, the most important person for a person is their parents, is one of their parents. Mums and dads, you are the most important person. You are uniquely equipped to grow disciples for Jesus Christ. Not their youth pastor, not their youth leaders, which sometimes hurts me down deep inside. But you are the most important. God has placed you where you are with your children for a reason. Obviously, there are a couple of exceptions to this. If your career or life runs counter to God's commands, if you are in a career that obviously and deliberately sets out to hurt people, that's probably a good career to get out of. Although John Newton was involved in the slave trade 200 years ago, God wonderfully converted him out of working the slave trade to go back and to fight against it, and eventually legislated to ban slavery in England. You don't need to change the situation that you find yourself in to be a good and faithful Christian. God will change the sin in your life where you are, but he won't necessarily change your situation. Our lot in life is under the sovereign and gracious direction of our God. He has assigned it to us, he has called us to it, and he wants us to live in it. What we are called to do is counter to what everyone else wants, counter to the world's upward call of movement. You know, advertising, schools, friends, so many things in life want us to be dissatisfied with our current life today. Get a better job, be your own boss, buy a bigger house, buy a second house, buy a faster car, buy a second car, buy a new iPhone. Well, you probably need the new iPad as well and the new Apple Watch. Are you looking for a partner? Use Tinder. Are you already married? Use Ashley Madison. A taxi costs too much? Don't worry. Use Uber. And if you don't want to pay, just get fit and run yourself. Be dissatisfied with where you are. Be dissatisfied with what you have. God has called us to live in our life today. Martin Luther, one of my favorite reformers, argued against the idea that only people involved in full-time ministry were special and had received a calling from God. Let me read a short quote from Martin Luther. "The works of monks and priests, however holy and arduous they may be, do not differ one whit in the sight of God from the works of the rustic labourer in the field or the woman going about her household tasks. All works are measured by God by faith alone. Our lot in life is under the gracious and sovereign direction of God. He has assigned it to us. He has called it to us. So we should live our life today." Paul is going to speak about two major divisions in life that cause a lot of unrest. Religious culture and social culture, society. Have a look with me at verse 18. "Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Each one should remain in the situation which he was in when God called him." So it turns out that it's possible to remove the marks of circumcision. I don't really want to talk about that. We're just going to set that down and we're going to move on from that. But it's incredible that Paul can say that circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. The key sign ever since Abraham that someone was a Jew and was part of the community of people who followed God was circumcision. It was a sign of membership. And yet Paul says, you don't need it. Keeping God's commands is what matters. It might be very easy to have surgery done on your body and think that you're now in the right crowd, but it's actually much more difficult to walk the life that God has called you to and follow him, obeying his commands. Some Christians thought that to be more spiritual or pleasing to God, they had to mark their body in a particular way. And Paul rebukes them. You don't need to do anything special like that to be loved by God. Paul has spoken about a religious practice that divided Christians 2,000 years ago. Now, we might not be so distracted by men's skin these days, but we still get distracted by what Christians practice. There are many things that people will say, well, a Christian has to look like this. A Christian has to do this. You know, Christians have to listen to 103.2 Hope FM on the radio. Christians have to send their kids to Christian school. Christians have to sit in pews in church. Christians have to sing hymns. Christians have to sing rock songs and wave their arms about. Christians have to have their arms down. Some people will tell you that a Christian has to do and look like this. Now, we might not be as interested by men's skin these days, but we are still very interested in being seen to do the right thing. That list is all good things. But in reality, circumcision is nothing. Pews are nothing. Songs are nothing. Schools are nothing. The radio is nothing. Christians have to follow Jesus and to be made more like him. Do any of these things because you want to, because they are good and helpful. But when you start thinking you have to do them, or that it'll make you a better, more spiritual Christian that's more pleasing to God, you have strayed down a dangerous path of trusting yourself and thinking that you can please God without Jesus. Paul has spoken about religious culture that divides people. And now in verse 21, he talks about employment and social status. Have a look at verse 21. "Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freedman. Similarly, he who was a free man when he was called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. If you are concerned about why it seems that Paul speaks approvingly of slavery, let me just talk about that for a moment. Slavery was a very common institution in the first century. People would sell themselves into slavery to get work, regular meals, and a roof. Slaves were often highly educated, and they could buy themselves out of slavery into freedom. It was not a time of once a slave, always a slave, necessarily. But slaves were owned by their masters, and there could be physical and sexual abuse. It often mattered less that someone was a slave than whose slave one was. The New Testament authors never approve of slavery, but they continually challenge the masters to consider their slaves' Christian brothers and sisters. And it's likely that the Corinthians, like us, valued social improvement, especially for these slaves. They were trying to save up to buy their freedom. They may have looked at free Christians and thought, if only I could be a free Christian like them, then I could go to church every day, because that's what the early church did. I'd be able to serve God and not my master. I could spend time with other Christians instead of working all day and all night. Wouldn't I have a better standing with God if I was free, not a slave? What does Paul say to those struggling with their position? Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Don't worry about it. God has assigned and even called a slave to their life. Even a slave's ability to serve God is not determined by their circumstances. Again, like we've seen over the last couple of weeks, Paul will give a command and then it's followed up by a concession. And it's the same again here. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. If an opportunity arises to be in a less oppressive situation, take it up. Get out of that situation. If you've the money to buy your freedom, or if your master wants to set you free, that's okay. Take it up. Be free. But Paul says three times, remain as you are. And yet here he says, if you can change, do it too. For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's free man. Similarly, he who was a free man when he was called is Christ's slave. Slave or free, they're both the same before the Lord. Through Jesus' death on the cross, he has taken us from death to life, from darkness to light. We are no longer slaves of sin, but free in Christ. We now have the highest social status, the sons and daughters of the King of Heaven, the brothers and sisters of Jesus. What an amazing status we have. It's not an option you'll see on Facebook when you're looking to put your status in, but it probably should be. Our social status now is not important. What could be more important than sons and daughters of the King? God has called us and assigned us to a particular place. Are you blooming in the place that he has called you to? Now, you might feel like a slave, trapped in your current life. I hate my job. I hate my house that I'm in. I hate my suburb. I hate my friends. I hate my family. Is Paul saying don't change that? No. Maybe keep the family. Change whatever you like. But the most important thing that Paul is saying is that you don't need to change your life to be able to serve God. But if you want to change, well, that's fine too. Now, just because there is freedom, it doesn't mean that we should or that it's necessarily good for us to change. It's very easy to get caught up in a consumeristic world and think that everything would be better if I was higher up the rung in the social status ladder. If I was more popular at school, well, I'd be able to tell more people about Jesus. If I was in charge at work, well, people would have to listen to me while I tell them about Jesus. Our society tries to tell us that our social status is important. But verse 23, you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. It's so easy to forget about our status before God, which was paid for in blood, and go back to trying to please people. I'll often hang out with men that I don't know, like it's a preschool breakfast, a Father's Day breakfast for Isaac at preschool, or you know, with Alyssa's mother's group and all these kind of husbands and fathers just kind of awkwardly standing around. And when we're talking, people's jobs invariably comes up. And if you've got a fancy title, all the better. You know, I'm the regional director of sales of truck stop toilet paper. I'm very important. And very rarely do you get people just say, oh, yeah, I sell toilet paper. They try and give you a title to make them seem more important. It's all a contest to see who's most important on the social status ladder. And then you know how to rank them. Oh, I should listen to you. You're important, more important than me. I never know where to fit. I tell people I'm an Anglican minister and it usually just shuts down conversation. I don't know why that is. It's so easy to forget that our status before God has been paid for in blood and go back to trying to please people. Let me ask you one final question. It's not really a question for tonight. It's more a question for tomorrow. Why are you where you are? Why are you where you are? Why has God put you into that job? Why has God put you in that household with those children, with that family, in that suburb, in that group of friends? Why has he put you there and not someone else? Is it so you can be dissatisfied with your life and long for a better job, a bigger house, a better suburb, a better family? How has God blessed you and blessed you in the place that he has put you? How has God called you and equipped you to this position? A fancy job title does not give more sway before God. An ordination to the priesthood does not make someone deserve more of Jesus' blood than anyone else. Know that while you can change your job, your house, your friends, whatever it is, God has called you to this life today. Don't keep looking off to the future that maybe one day you can finally be the Christian that Jesus wants you to be. God has called you to follow him today where you are. While it is still today, serve him there. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that through the blood of your Son, our status has changed, that we are no longer slaves of sin, but that we are free, that we are your children. Father, help us to understand why you have put us where you have put us. Help us to serve you and not just long for the day where we will be somewhere different or better. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.